Hello, it is Wednesday, September 9th. New era for our show. We are now a daily podcast. We're coming out in the afternoon, though. So be a friend, tell a friend. Although they won't be coming out at midnight like usual. They'll be coming out in the afternoon, hopefully around 3, 4 o'clock. You can listen to us day of, next day, whatever tickles your fancy. They might be a little bit shorter. They'll probably still be long. We'll have great guests, good conversations, and we can't thank you enough for allowing us to penetrate your ear holes. Per usual, if you like this show, by the end of this thing, go ahead and tell somebody about it. If you don't like the show, just act like it never fucking happened. Today's show is brought to you by FanDuel, the best in the world at what they do. Now let's get to it. The NFL is back mañana. That means NFL Sunday is back this Sunday. Woo! That means the greatest league on planet Earth is back in more than 24 hours, but less than 36 hours. Woo! And that is we are here for. Big news being made all over the NFL. More money getting tossed out to free agents right now than I've seen in a long time. And that's all with a massive question mark on what the fuck the future of the NFL is. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows if this season's going to finish. Nobody knows. Nobody knows if games are going to get suspended, delayed, and canceled, and they're just going to be a mixed bag of football and schedules and records. Nobody knows. Mm-mm. Nobody has a clue.
Nobody.
But some of these NFL owners are like, who gives a damn? Pay them. Let's keep them around. And I, as a former player, absolutely love it. If you look at the MLB, which kind of had the model of what the NFL was having, individual cities, individual practices, traveling around, doing their thing. Early there, they were in a bad spot. I think the world was in a much different spot then than we are now, but they were in a bad, bad spot. I think testing was in a much different spot than it is now, yeah. But they were in a bad spot. 22 Marlins, from a story that we were told allegedly took place from a couple guys making one big mistake, and then that thing kind of, choo-choo running a train through the team now. Yeah. 22 people get it. So they have to cancel a game. They have to cancel two games. They have to cancel three games. Then the Cardinals had it. Then the Pirates had it. They had to cancel games, suspend games. They were making double headers. They were having games go to 7 innings instead of 9 innings. Everybody's like, this isn't baseball. First of all, we're not playing a full season, so this isn't baseball. We're not even playing half the amount of games. This isn't baseball. Then they're like, oh, wait till you hear this. Wait till you hear this. We're going down to 7 innings. We're doing double headers back to back to back. They're playing 6 games in like 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to say? This isn't baseball. You know what? We don't care because all we're trying to do is get to playoffs because that's where we make all our money at. So the NFL now has to look at that. And they have to notice that. Okay, so one team had 22 people. In baseball, by the way, I guess people say on the field they're socially distant, but they're still getting in the buses together. So they're going to be just as close as that. Everybody's like, well, the contact sport like football, it's going to be different. It's like, well, I guess we don't know anything about this damn virus, but if you're all sitting on the same bus, traveling and on the same planes and doing the same things, isn't that going to be... Is that kind of the same?
Might as well be a contact sport.
I do recall, though, at the beginning of this thing, you weren't even allowed to make eye contact with people because COVID could fucking laser beam out of your eyes right into somebody else's eye. Mm-hmm. I remember that. But the NFL has to have seen that. And then they have to have seen how those numbers have kind of fallen off in baseball. We haven't heard about games being suspended. We haven't heard about teams having delayed games. Like, everything has kind of fallen off. So if you're the NFL, you have to be thinking, hey, we're in pretty good timing here. The testing seems to be getting much more efficient. The testing seems to be getting much faster. It feels like there's more than a couple companies, Abbott, some other companies coming out with these 15-minute results. And the NFL has done like 75 million tests, and now there's only one positive person. And that's not just players, coaches, staff. That's everybody in the building. Now, training camp's much different than the regular season. There'll be some more free time for guys to potentially go around and make the same Marlins mistake. Mm-hmm. But let's hope that doesn't happen. But it feels like the NFL's got it figured out. But if they don't, and fans aren't allowed into the stands, and somehow games get suspended, I assume we're going to see a potentially very rocky financial future for a lot of these teams. And it seems like a lot of these teams said, who gives a fuck? We're going to be owners forever. Jalen Ramsey just got like $71 million guaranteed on a 5-year, $105 million deal for a cornerback on a team that yesterday was 400, yesterday, before they did this deal, they were $400,000 over the cap, and they had to fix that until 4 p.m. today to get rid of $400,000. So they said, don't worry about that. If we got to get rid of $400,000, you know what we'll do? We'll add 105 million. Never see it coming. So whenever that shit hits Roger Goodell and when that hits the NFL league offices, they're going to be so blindsided by the $105 million deal for a corner. By the way, shout out, congratulations to Jalen Ramsey. Congrats to him. Big time. They're not even going to see that we're still now potentially $13,400,000 over the salary cap. We'll deal with that down the road whenever they got other shit to figure out. This is first week. They don't even know if there's going to be a season. I don't know how they did that unless they set that up as a Chiefs-like deal with Patrick Mahomes where everything's backloaded and then you can cut out his salary now so you can save that $400,000, then you can pay him in years 3, 4, and 5. You're nodding your head yes. Is that what they did or you're saying?
That's what it has to be.
It has to be because the Rams in consecutive years here made the highest paid running back, highest paid wide receiver, highest paid quarterback, highest paid D-tackle, highest paid cornerback now. And everybody said, hey, you guys are going to have salary cap problems. You're not going to be able to do it. And they're like, no.
Super Bowl.
No, we'll go to the Super Bowl, play Patriots. We'll be back. Then, boom, all the salary caps hit at the same time. They had to get rid of Todd Gurley. They had to get rid of Clay Matthews. They had to start dumping. They still owe them money, I think.
Brandon Cooks was in there.
They had to get rid of him. They had to get rid of everybody that they paid. And now they're still paying those people that they left, like $20-some million. So they're $400,000 over salary cap. They're like, yep, fuck it, we're doing it again. Give him the most money any corner's ever had in the history of football. Boom. I don't know how they're gonna figure out the cap, but I love the players are getting paid. Love it. Love the players getting paid. But with the future of football, financial wise, being who knows what salary cap's gonna be. Remember the first numbers that were being reported, like $30 million a week or something was gonna be lost. Now that's obviously turned out to be false, but people are gonna be losing money on these salary caps, I think, next year because it's a share of revenue, share on how much money to spend. I'll be intrigued to see how all this plays out, but I love the players are just raking in. But it feels like the only number any of us should look at is the guaranteed money. The big money right there does not matter. $105 million does not matter. What matters is the $71.2 million because when the salary cap eventually, inevitably, drops and they're not able to pay these people, they're going to have to figure out how they pay them their guaranteed money and that'll get restructured, I assume. There'll be an entire thing. We might see football deals that end up like Bonilla, paying out for like 10 years, even if the people aren't on the team anymore. I think that's going to have to happen. But the NFL is going to be like, well, how do we divvy that into salary cap so everything's fair? Because then everybody will just start paying people. All right, here's a 40-year contract. We'll pay you for the next 40 years. It doesn't matter what we're paying you now. It's going to get intriguing. I don't know how all these people are going to make the money. I don't know how all these people are going to pay them, but I love the players getting paid.
I like to look at this in a positive fashion, and the owners and teams realize that they're playing with funny money. The NFL is so much money that they're not even worried about the salary cap next year. They know it's going to be fine. They know everything's going to be fine. It's the NFL. We can pay them.
Everything's going to be fine. It's the NFL. We always make money. And remember, when we don't make money, we just renegotiate the CBA. That's kind of what owners do. Owners in professional sports are never, ever expecting to lose money by anybody. When the owners are about to lose money, they're like, we got to redo the deal. And everybody's like, yep, they got to redo the deal. I mean, they're going to lose money. It's like, well, it's a business. Sometimes businesses lose money. It's like, no, not professional sports. They always make money. They got to renegotiate for a reason. They got to make their money. Our teams need to play football.
So do you think there's a clause then in the contract? Like, hey, if the salary cap goes down 20%, we get 10% back or something
like that? So I think what probably happens is a force majeure.
Ooh.
Okay, force majeure is a word that I had to learn about in negotiating deals here for the last couple of months, numerous deals. Force majeure is something that is put into a contract that basically saves whoever the bank is in the contract to paying the other person if something massive happens, like a fucking worldwide pandemic that shuts down everything.
Yeah.
So I believe every contract has that, but the guaranteed money is guaranteed money. I don't know. Sorry to interrupt. Here's the thing about home security companies. Most trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support. So while there are a lot of options out there, there's only one no-brainer. SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe's got everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security. It's got an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room, window, and door tailored specifically for your home. Professional monitoring keeps watch day and night. Day and night. Ready to send police, fire, or medical professionals if there's an emergency. You can set it up yourself in under an hour, even if you're a fucking idiot. Just peel and stick the sensors exactly where you need them. No technician required, and there's no contract, no pushy sales guys or girls, no hidden fees, and no fine print. All this starts at just $15 a month. I'm not the only one who thinks SimpliSafe is great. Ty thinks it's great. Gumpy, who's editing this now, thinks it's great. The boys think it's great. But also, U.S. News and World Report named it the best overall home security of 2020. Head to simplysafe.com/pat and get a free HD camera for listeners of this show only. That's simplysafe.com/pat to make sure they know that our show sent you. Back to the show.
One thing to, you know, feel like a piece of shit. Another to actually see it.
And
you know?
A man who has never had one of those days in his entire life. Nope. And it is very obvious. He looks like he's in the best shape of his life. He seems to be throwing the best balls of his life. Seems like he's having the best time of his life. Ladies and gentlemen, GOAT, Green Bay quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah!
Look at you. Come on! Good to see you.
I missed you too, Pat.
Aaron, it's great to see you, man. Thanks for coming on, bub.
Great to see you and the boys. They're not in the chat right now, but I do have a lot of love for them, especially one of them, you know, who's there. He is.
Let's go.
He's wearing your face
four
right now.
4 more years. Yeah.
Have you seen that one yet? Have you seen the 4 more year shirt yet? We love it.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's a crowd pleaser. I will let you know. It is a
look at the cornrows. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Boston Connor. He actually got those done the other day. He got them tightened up.
Not too bad.
He's a stooge. You know that.
Are those puka shells in the back? I can't
tell. No, I saved the puka shells for October.
No, that's the Cuban link on Z.
What the hell's a puka shell?
You know,
the shells, the white shells.
The white shells you wear a necklace at the beach.
Nah.
Big in the early 2000s?
I would say 90s, actually. 2000s. Yeah, let's.
Was that on the anklets? You wore an anklet with one of those on?
No, it was right here. It was like 1994 to 1998.
How old were you? How old were you? I was seven in 94.
I bet 94, I was 10, turning 11.
I was probably a terrible kid. I was probably terrible there. Aaron, how are you doing?
I believe that.
How are you doing?
Did you ever go to... What?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Pat. Doing really well. How about you? I mean, I've been seeing you all over the place. You're wrestling guys. You got, you know,
me
bringing AJ with you. Are you mad at AJ for not stepping in at any point back in the episode? Yeah.
See, Aaron, that is the question, because a lot of people have said this, that whenever they approached me to fight me and Aaron was standing, what, less than a foot away from me to my left, he almost let those guys knock me out, Aaron.
Yeah, he didn't do anything. He just kind of left you out there.
What's that all about?
Is that the plan the whole time? Is that the plan the whole time?
I brought him along because that jawline knocks somebody out. That's what you do. You bring AJ Hawk to fight for you, and then he didn't do it.
Yeah, but he's got that baby peck, though. When he,
Yeah.
He never grew back.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little tight on this side. But great at the VersaClimber. Big VersaClimber guy.
And cigars. He smokes more cigars than any human I've ever seen in my entire life.
And he hasn't burned down his beautiful house yet. That's amazing.
He said he's in an attic. I've seen the villa, though. I feel like he's in probably a pretty palatial estate over there.
You haven't got the invite yet, huh?
No, never. Never the Kentucky Derby either. Thanks, man.
Well, you're a Pittsburgh guy, you know. Yeah. He's more of a Youngstown, Ohio guy, you know.
Yeah, Ohio is a different place, Aaron. It is a different place. Hey, well, you've been wrestling, too. Tim Boyle, I'll come kick his ass. You want me to?
I think I can handle myself. But if I need a tag team partner, I definitely, you'd be on the top, you know, 10 or so list probably.
Oh, that's very nice of you. It feels like you look like you're having a great time playing the football. You look like you're having a great, not that that's abnormal, but this is a weird time to be doing a football. You look like you're having a great time. Suck it signs we've heard. Hey.
Oh yeah.
Suck it signs we've heard going out there.
Nothing is sacred or secret anymore.
Nope.
You know
nothing.
What I mean?
Nothing.
Like you throw one, you know, you draw them offside, you throw a bomb touchdown, you make one gesture. It may or may not have been, I'm not going to confirm tonight. But, you know, and then there's just nothing sacred anymore.
What was the thing you saw in 2010 practice film? What was it? Because that was quite an answer you gave. You know, I saw something in practice in 2010, and yeah, you've seen the next 2 days. What an answer by you. Just the entire world was like, well, what was it, Aaron? What did you see in 2010?
Pat, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, Aaron! The show stinks! Come on!
Not this time. Maybe down the line.
Oh, can we announce that now?
Segway. I'm giving you a softball segue right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, an announcement is to be made by Aaron Rodgers, myself, and the incredibly handsome AJ Hawk, who is not currently with us, but he's over my shoulder sitting on a toilet on a painting. Every Tuesday this football season, joining us, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah!
Yeah! What? Every Tuesday.
Everyone?
Every Tuesday.
What?
Great segue, dude.
As the kids say, facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah. 100, dude. 100, bro. Because normally.
I can't wait, Pat. I can't wait. You know, I my love for you and the boys you know, has grown ever since you came out and had an incredible showing in the Bahamas. It's still the show. You were the MVP off the golf course. Well, you're trash talking on the golf course, but for the most part, off the golf course. You got a beautiful belt. I love that. Still got it.
Yep, you're damn right.
Obviously, on draft night, I was watching your coverage.
Thank you for that. That was not talked about when everybody talked about you watching the draft, by the way. Me and AJ were not exactly thrilled that we were not mentioned that entire thing. Not pumped about it.
No, it was a no-brainer, though. And I've told people this before, and I'll tell you again, this is not a little five-finger discount. I think, you know, you and the boys, you guys are like the future sports version of the Howard Stern Show.
Awesome! Oh. Wow! Did you know we debuted on Sirius today? So saying that is a massive deal.
And yeah.
I assume there's listeners that are very pissed off that you just said that. But I want to let you know, in this room, hey, thank you.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, Aaron.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, Aaron.
Hey, look, I'm not worried about pissing people off, and I'm not apologizing for
it. Oh, suck it sign. Suck it sign everywhere. The team this year, let's talk football.
What?
Yeah, let's talk the football.
Okay.
It's opening week. Opening week. You have to feel good. You have to feel good that football is even happening to begin with, because there's massive question marks everywhere. The way it's been handled has been insanely successful if the reports that we're reading is accurate. And now we're to it. I mean, it has to feel pretty, pretty good.
It feels good to be here. I think it's strange. You know, a wannabe Midwesterner from Youngstown, Ohio, our center, Corey Lindsley, just actually mentioned, he said, can you believe it? There's a team that's traveling right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just to be in this position, you know, that the Houston Texans are traveling to Kansas City. Just the thought of that, you know, is, I think, strange for all of us. It doesn't feel like a normal training camp, but it's been so different and disjointed. And there'll be a game tomorrow night. I think, I think the numbers, if you look at them, very positive. I think we've had since everybody returned, like since training camp began, not counting the guys who tested positive coming into camp. We've had, I saw something, I don't know how many, it was 60,000 or 50,000 and zero positive tests.
Yeah.
Or you know, and at one point we had like six guys in the COVID protocol. The one day that was a little crazy when all those guys tested positive.
77 people.
And then all of them tested negative with the rapid test. So, I think the accountability the guys have been showing is working. I always think the best accountability is not forced accountability. It's optional accountability. Now, there's more on the line this year because, you know, the season relies on guys making the right decisions because we can't control who you're with when you leave the facility. Obviously, there's families and kids involved. So I give credit to our players. Testing protocol is extensive. It's every single day. But I give a lot of credit to the guys for taking care of themselves and making the right decisions.
I saw a lot of people posting it takes all of us photos that seem to be crafted by somebody for them. Unless these guys are all incredible at Photoshop, which, and they all look very similar. Has the NFL been putting a lot of strain on, like, you know, has the NFL been like talking like, hey, we got to buy in? Has that been an everyday reminder, or is it kind of just everybody assumes that and understands that?
I think it's not an everyday reminder, but it's, you know, Patrick, it's the all-powerful dollar. It's about getting to the season and playing games and keeping people safe. You know, I think you've seen with the other two sporting, major sporting leagues, you know, the NHL and the NBA being in playoffs right now. You're seeing them be able to finish games. They're adding, you know, family to the mix now. And, you know, I think all of us just want to get to a point where we can at some point get some fans back in the stadium.
Yeah.
Because that's what our game is all about. It's going to be so bizarre these first, you know, at least 4 weeks for us, you know, with two home games and no fans. And one of them is a damn Monday night game.
Oh,
you know,
it's going to be electric. It's going to be electric.
Sunday night game in New Orleans. I don't know what they're doing fan-wise. It's limited to no fans. So playing in the Superdome, an iconic stadium in the league for the last, you know, 60 years, 50 years, and no fans. That's going to be very strange.
Well, and their fans, by the way, are a big part of it down there. When they get going, it is. I mean, we lost by 70 down there, I think, one time. I mean, it was not good. And they were relentless, too. They did not leave. They stuck around and celebrated the entire time, much like Green Bay, much like Lambeau. I mean, Lambeau, that place was packed all the way till the end. And I learned this is because a lot of people travel in. It's like a pilgrimage. And
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you might have called a game there at one point.
Yeah, I wish you would have played.
I got hurt. So yeah. I wonder if there was any correlation.
Whoa. No.
There wasn't, right? We talked about in the Bahamas. We talked about this.
We win. We win together. Yeah. When I'm around, we win normally.
We win together. We do.
That particular day, though, I mean, that was a big loss. I mean, you got – I thought you got –
I got clotheslined. Yeah. I got clotheslined.
And you ended up on your
head. Know what that feels like.
Me? No, I don't get hit like that.
Can we talk about you, the backflips, the jumping on the ropes? Hey. That was impressive. I don't think many people knew you had that type of athleticism. Now, we've seen the shots of you,
thank you,
ripping a guy and kickoff or punt, you know, and doing your Connor walk and all that.
Thank you.
Which is fantastic and beautiful.
Thank you.
But I don't know if anybody knew the backflip, double backflips and jumping on the ropes was in your repertoire. So I give you a lot of credit.
Hey, not a bad box jump there. I don't think that, you know, the jump up to the top there,
that was like 8 feet.
It felt like it was at least 9, didn't it?
At least.
Put a hoop on that thing next time. That's what I was thinking whenever I was jumping. You know, all these Instagram models and fitness guys doing all these box jumps. There I am going, 9, 10 feet up there. You saw it.
They don't make them like they used to, huh, buddy?
No. They don't make them like us anymore, Aaron. They don't make them like us anymore.
Aaron, given how different this offseason's been, who are a couple of the young guys who have really impressed you so far and guys who you know are going to have kind of like a breakout year for you guys to be successful this year?
Yeah, there's going to have to be a lot of those, you know, based on the roster and the youth that we have. You know, I think one guy in particular that came back, not a first or second year player, but Jamal Williams came back and had a little bit something different to him this year. He posted a bunch of Instagram videos during the off season, and he would send me most of them first, like, hey, I'm working on this. And he's running these, like, you know, deep shake routes, post corner routes and routes and all these different things. And I was just kept telling him, man, you look great. But then he shows up and he just a half step quicker. The agility is there. The burst is a little bit more. So I give him a lot of credit for the way that he grew. You know, a lot of times the big jumps come between years 1 and 2 and 2 and 3. This guy's going into his fourth season. Coming off a year last year, we had multiple games in a row with touchdown catches. And it is an important part of our offense. Now, Aaron Jones obviously had a ton of touchdowns last year. But Jamal is a big part of what we're doing. And I think he kind of saw what Aaron did and said, I need to come back and be a little bit bigger factor in the receiving game. And, because you need two backs in this league. So I think Jamal has had a fantastic camp, and I'm excited about what he's done. And the thing that he does as well is he just brings so much energy to a football team. So he's going to be an important part of what we're doing. You know, we drafted a couple young guys in rounds 2 and 3. And the third round pick is going to get some opportunities, I think, probably early, you know, maybe earlier than the second round pick. But excited about DeGuara to see what he can do as kind of a hybrid type guy. But as is the case in Green Bay, you know, we're going to rely on some young players at important times, and, you know, communication needs to be there and then execution needs to be there. And I think that's the difference, Pat. You know, we're looking at this weird offseason and training camp that we've had. I think some of the guys need to kind of pinch themselves a little bit and remind each other now it counts, and there's going to be hitting and tackling and strip attempts on the ball and collisions. You know, it's a little different than having preseason games.
We talked about that in the first hour. I was talking about what the game is potentially going to look like because we didn't have preseason games and we kind of had to shorten OTAs. I said special teams are going to be ugly. There's going to be penalties on special teams. There's going to be timeouts used on special teams because they're not going to have enough people on the field. That's just classic preseason football with young guys who don't know that they're on field. There's going to be a lot of that. There's probably going to be some sloppiness. And then we talked about the defense not being able to tackle. Like, have you guys gone full go in practice more so than you would have in the past because of this?
No, we don't really tackle in practice.
I don't think anybody is, by the way.
No, I know there's some teams that I know tackle.
Oh, really?
I've heard the stories, yeah. I'm not a big proponent of that. I think, you know, there's certain football moves and abilities that if you haven't figured out by this point, you know, you're not going to figure it out moving forward. And tackling is a basic part of it. You know, there's an instinct you have to have in live game situations to be able to make tackles. You know, I look at Pat, I know we had an preseason in 2011, but there was so much chatter around that season. Oh, we had the lockout, you know, going to be just sloppy football and all this crap. And
it was awesome.
We came out and played New Orleans in the first game and beat them, I think 42-34. you know, both teams lit up the scoreboard, and it wasn't a sloppy game by any means. So I don't expect a lot of sloppiness. There might be, you know, some of that special team stuff you're talking about that seems to probably ring true, but you know, there's an expectation when you step on the field of execution, and there's not a whole lot of grace period or patience, even though we didn't have a preseason.
This is awesome to hear, by the way. I'm very pumped about that. The lockout year was a dream. I mean, I was almost a proponent of lockout every single year after that.
Yeah.
Is there any way?
Yeah, me too.
Is there any way we could potentially just lock out next year too? Training camp will come back. We'll figure out some business shit, and then we'll just keep it moving. I was all about it. But a lot of people were talking about, and I guess you just chatted about that. Is it easy to pick up like the timing with a wide receiver as a quarterback or a running back when you don't have those OTAs, or is training camp enough time for you to kind of get a feel on where somebody's going to be or where you want them to go or anything like that?
Well, with all due respect, now I can say whatever I want.
Yeah, yeah, you can. You can, by the way, yeah. That's the way it works.
I think it's plenty of time. I think the way that we did the schedule this year with the lead-in time, you know, the first couple of weeks felt like kind of an early off-season schedule. And this, I told a friend of mine, I said, this is the first training camp in probably the last 16, you know, the first time ever that my arm hasn't hurt at one point during training camp.
Ooh, breaking news. Breaking news.
Love that.
Which the reason for that is a lot of times you might not throw the last week or 2 weeks, or maybe throw limited in during the break in the off season, and you come in day one, they don't want you to throw 150, 200 balls in practice. This was a great, I thought, lead in, not just for my arm or you know, other guys' skilled abilities, but I think it was for just kind of our wind, our football shape, weightlifting. You could lift harder when you're not practicing as hard. I thought the schedule was beautiful in order to kind of get yourself in a really good spot starting training camp.
Is this the schedule going forward? Is this what the NFLPA is going to push for? Hey, how about we just, you remember COVID-19 was terrible, but you remember that schedule we had? It feels like football was pretty good that day. It feels like it was pretty
well good. There was some of us who pushed for this type of schedule. A good friend of mine that you used to hold for was one of my allies who was pushing for a similar schedule to this.
I assume Vinatieri and a lot of the older gentlemen were definitely pushing for a similar thing.
I would add wiser to that.
Smarter. That as well. Been there, done that. We've been here. Let's. This matters. This doesn't. What are we talking about? Why aren't we doing this? Yeah, there's a lot of that, I assume. That's why I was never an NFLPA member, by the way. I just didn't think it mattered. You know what I mean? Listen, everybody.
I'm not going to argue with you after going through those meetings with you on that.
I've heard it's insane. I've heard those meetings are insane. This is your first time being a rep, right?
This, yeah, and my first real meeting like this at the combine in February. It was interesting. A lot of opinions.
I've heard terrible things. They were like, I got nominated a couple of times. You know, like, hey, Pat, you want to be a rep? Nope. No way. Not a chance. Not doing it. Diggs, what do you got?
Aaron, 70 decibels of crowd noise in the stadium. Is that loud enough that you don't have to change how you talk in the huddle? And then, like, when you get to the line, how does it affect the audibles? And I know you're a big hard count guy. I mean, you do suck at signs in practice when you catch the defense offside.
Yeah, so
is
you
that
like
going to be easier during the season?
Well, we've been practicing, as I'm sure many other teams have, with decibels similar to those levels. And it's my belief that there will not be a need for a silent count.
Even with some people, Indianapolis Colts have 2.5% of their capacity watching this. 2,500 fans are allowed in Lucas Oil Stadium. You don't think them plus the 70 decibels is going to be a problem, Aaron? You don't think so?
I think 70 decibels by itself, that was the question, Pat. There wasn't anything about extra crowd. Okay.
Well, I'm just saying.
70 decibels on its own is going to be, you don't have to use silent count. But we've practiced with it. You know, there's been teams over the years who've, and you know, Pat, probably where you played.
Whoa!
During a time.
Whoa!
There's been some artificial sound pumped in the stadium over the years.
No. Oh, wow. Not where I was. No, no, no. Because Lucas Oil was actually known to be the complete opposite. It was almost too quiet at times. You know what I mean? That RCA dome was just.
Oh, it was that quiet, huh?
Yeah, it was so quiet, man. So quiet. Lambeau's a different animal, though. That place, I think. And I've told this story before, and I don't know if you've confirmed it or not, but the preseason game against us, I think, is when you started the championship.
That's not true.
I think it is, man. I think I saw it with my own eyes. And everybody in the crowd, I saw a lady, I think her name was Jan, up in the front, was just hitting that thing with her green and gold on. I think that was the game it started. Yeah,
I think so. I think we did that. Didn't we play you guys in 2010? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, you beat the hell out of us. Yeah,
I did in 2009. So you're off by a year.
When did you start? When did you do it?
Are you a fan of Triple H?
Oh yeah, yeah, big fan.
You friends with him, or are you? Any of you guys kind of? He kind of
went after me on ESPN. I don't know if you saw it. He kind of went after me.
Shoved you.
Yeah.
Is that because you kicked old boy or
right in the head, Aaron? Knocked him out. Yeah. Had to do it. You have a belt from him, I'd assume.
Yeah, I do. It's mine.
Do you ever wear it?
My precious.
Do you ever wear it?
No, I don't.
Oh, so me wearing this one, pretty weird. Do you ever wear this one, though?
No, I wear that one. Yeah, of course. Okay. I wear that one all the time. Just that one, usually.
Okay. Minnesota Vikings this weekend. Good luck. I think that's who you're playing, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Hey, good luck, man. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Thanks, Pat.
Are you going to throw the ball good? Are you going to throw the ball good?
I'm going to try. Yeah, I'm going to try. Just for you, buddy. Hey. And the boys.
Hey, don't make any tackles. We talked about tackles. You said it's a natural instinct. You have hammered some people. We don't need you making any tackles.
I have hammered one person, and that was a long time ago.
Okay. That's smart. You're an old man.
I don't think I've made a tackle other than against Urlacher in the last 10 years. So
let's not break that trend. Let's go ahead and stay out of the tackles. Let's throw the ball good. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Ladies and gentlemen, legend Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, buddy.
See you, Aaron.
Good luck, Aaron.
Good luck, Aaron.
Hey, good luck, Aaron.
Good luck, Aaron.
Hey, good luck this year, Aaron.
Good luck, Aaron.
So sorry to interrupt. I have to tell you that if you're not listening to this show with some Raycon wireless earbuds, then you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Premium wireless earbuds, less than half the price of the other Stooges. That's why wireless earbuds from Raycon are the greatest way to listen to anything. And their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are the best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass. They got the boom booms in there. A more compact design and a nice noise isolating fit. Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet. They have no dangling wires or stems. And this company was founded by Ray J, H-A-H-A-H-A, and celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Melissa Etheridge, Brandy, J.R. Smith, Mike Tyson, Rich the Kid, Zito Perez are obsessed with their products. Give them a try. Raycon has a 45-day free return policy, so you can make sure their pair of wireless earbuds fit for you perfectly. For a limited time only, get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/pat. That's buyraycon.com/pat for a special 15% discount on Raycon wireless earbuds. I'll tell you this. When I say this, I mean this. They have great designs. Okay, they got good colors. They got good patterns. They got all sizes covered for you. Whenever it comes in a box, there's different sizes for your ear hole. I have a weird ear that normally kicks things out, but not to Raycon wireless earbuds, especially the E25. Make sure you check it out now while the deal is running. Buyraycon.com/Pat, 15% off. Let's get back to the show. Joining us now, a man who just got done doing a media rounds with our Colin Cowherd, not ours, but we are a fan. We watch him every day, Colin Cowherd. Yeah. Calling the Seahawks-Falcons game this weekend, and also a man who hosts a show daily in Denver to talk about the Von Miller peroneal tendon injury. Ladies and gentlemen, Stink, Mark Schlereth. That boy Stink!
Yeah, hey, great to be with you, Pat. AJ, good to see you, man.
You too, Mark.
Hey, Mark, let's talk about what you talked about on Colin's show. What'd you guys talk about over there?
I don't really pay attention to Colin. He says a bunch of things. I'm like, whatever, dude. Come on. I mean, give me a break. He always has these unbelievable analogies and theories about things. Like, you know, the thing about Colin is Colin will essentially state something and then restate it and then state it again. And at the end of the day, you're like, wow, he's right. And ultimately, he doesn't say anything. Like, he'll say, he'll go like this. He'll go, NBA players are tall. They are. They just are. You know, and you're like, oh, my God, he's right. NBA players are tall. I saw one the other day at the grocery store.
He's a legend, though. Very good at what he does.
Oh, Colin is the best.
Very, very good.
He makes you think. You know, he always makes you think, and he always puts some spin on it that you were like, I never really thought about it that way. Well, I don't really do a whole lot of thinking. So, you know, it's not my strong suit. I'm a general studies major from the University of Idaho, which means my education is an inch deep and a mile wide. So no specific questions, Pat.
Well, as long as you graduated, you're a step further than me, Albert Einstein, Kanye West, and Steve Jobs. But let's get some thoughts from that rock for brain that you have there. Von Miller going out. I saw your video last night. This has to be devastating for Denver Broncos fans because Drew Locke seems like he's a good player. Like, hey, everything that you could potentially want. Now, granted, Chiefs are going to be tough for a long, long time. But it felt like the team was striving, and Vaughn felt like he was back to your to what you were saying yesterday. This is tough, what, 3 days before the season starts?
Yeah, really tough. And I think when you look at the way they're built, they're constructed, they've spent more money on the defensive side of the ball than any team in the National Football League. And so what they're trying to do is support their young quarterback by playing great defense, and then they invested on the offensive side of the ball throughout the draft. And that's how they're trying to build this football team. But you have to understand that when you have a great defensive player, as offensive players, one of the things you always do, you break the huddle, you have to have a plan to mitigate that guy because that guy can absolutely wreck your game plan. So when you break the huddle, the first thing you do as an offensive player is you go break, and then you turn around and go, where's 58, and how are we going to contend with 58? And so ultimately what ends up happening to you is you say, okay, we can't run X number of plays. Let's say we got to take 20% of our offense, and we just got to scrap pile it. We can't run it because we're not good enough to be one-on-one with 58 at any particular time. And so then the domino effect kicks in. Well, if we're double teaming over there, we can't double team a Bradley Chubb or a Jarrell Casey or some of the other guys, a Shelby Harris. So it gives you one-on-one matchups other places where you have to win. And you may not have a great player over there where you have to win, but you have to take care of that aspect of it. So certainly, you know, if we were applying baseball terms like war, wins against replacement, you know, what's Vaughn worth? Is he worth a game? Is he worth two games? You know, I'm not 100% sure on that, but I've got to say it's somewhere between a game and a half and two games that Vaughn – that Vaughn essentially gives you that he's better than his replacement, you know, over his replacement.
Mark, what about would stay with outside rushers? Jadeveon Clowney obviously signs with the Titans. Do you think this is a good signing for Vrabel and the Titans? And how do you think Clowney's going to do over there?
Yeah, I do think it's a really good signing. I think Jadeveon Clowney, when you start putting on tape and you watch him, really, especially, like, he doesn't get the credit for it, but he's devastating in the run game. He plays with great hands, great leverage, great awareness in the run game. Now, when you put him in and look at Seattle and the way Seattle played Jadeveon Clowney last year, there were several things that just didn't make sense. Like, how many times he dropped back into coverage. Like, that's not what he does well, right? There's, like, he is lost in space out there. So I'm not a big fan of taking a really premier type of edge rusher and putting him in space. The other thing with Seattle is they played so much base to nickel, meaning they lined up with their three linebackers almost, I think, over 80% of the time. So even if you got into three wides, that's what they're doing. Well, what ends up happening to you in those situations, if you're in a regular formation, you're, as a defensive end, you're really head up over the offensive tackle and a weak side linebacker is on the line of scrimmage. It's not an advantageous place to rush the passer from, because if the weak side linebacker's coming, you have to pinch. That's how football works, right? You can't – we used to say this all the time as offensive linemen. Two asses don't fit through one hole. So
true.
Each defensive player – has a hole that he's supposed to go through, and two guys don't fit through that one hole. So that ultimately, to me, the scheme put him in a disadvantaged position oftentimes when it came to rushing the passer. So here he has 4.5 sacks, and everybody in Seattle was like, well, he was terrible. Well, actually, not really. Like, he wasn't as bad as you think he was.
Let's talk about the house you're in right now. That thing looks fucking massive. Oh, my God.
Well, this is my wife's house. And listen, I promise you guys this. God forbid, if anything ever happened to my lovely wife, Lisa, I would be living in this house, but essentially I would be homeless because I don't know how to do, I don't know how to deposit a check. I don't know how to do anything except take care of the lawn and talk about football. Those are the only two things.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I know how to do dishes because at least my wife is an excellent, she's a gourmet cook. And I realized a long time ago that as long as she promises to cook, I'll do dishes. I will trade unskilled labor for skilled labor. She has skilled labor. I am unskilled labor. So dishes I'm good at. Landscaping, I'm excellent. I'm great at landscaping. Football, I'm okay. Well, that's all I know how to do.
You are underselling yourself. Let's not talk about that chili that you use. Oh, you got a good palate. You got a good palate out there. I don't know if we're still...
Yeah, well, it's somebody else's recipe. I just like to eat. There was a time that I was 300 pounds, and I really, really enjoyed eating. I still really enjoy eating.
Yeah.
I am no longer that fat. I am still fat. But I'm not as fat as I once was.
Well, and by the way, you're as good once as you ever were. I think a lot of people would say that. But this weekend, you're calling Seahawks-Falcons, right? That's the game you have this weekend?
Yes, indeed.
Both teams kind of forgotten about in their division, but sneaky, potential, very good teams. Have you been getting Zoom calls with them? Like, because you obviously can't visit and talk to them. How are you getting information about them, and what is the information that you're getting from both these teams?
Well, as of right now, I will head out to Atlanta tomorrow, and then we'll have Zoom calls scheduled on Friday and on Saturday with the two respective teams, Atlanta on Friday, Seattle on Saturday. You know, one of the benefits of being home, the first, 4 weeks was awesome because my wife and I watched movies together, and it was really cool. Then the next 4 weeks, we almost got divorced because I'm the world's neediest person, and she didn't really like that. And then she went away to take care of my mom for a couple of weeks, and all I did was study football. So I have more film watched in the last 3 weeks on these two teams. So mine is film study, man. I am a geek when it comes to watching teams and looking at film and looking at, you know, coverages and defensive fronts and offensive schemes and formations and all that stuff. So that's really what I dig into most of all. I don't really like all the other stuff. I just like to really watch the film and then, you know, talk to the coaches and kind of try to get their takes on it. But I'm just a big film hound.
How do you feel about the film? Russell Wilson, unbelievable. Josh Gordon coming back. He can't be suspended for anything, so they can maybe make him a little bit bigger part of the offense, maybe focal point. What are you thinking whenever it comes to that entire? You think you like?
Well, you know, I love Russell Wilson. I love the way that offense works. I mean, they're going to run the ball even. And you watch them go back to last year's film. How many times did they just messed up the number count? You just messed up a number count and you're not blocking people and it's just tackling practice, right? And yet Brian Schottenheimer, their offensive coordinator, said, screw it, we're going to run it regardless, right? We're going to keep doing this. But it's the play action stuff. It's the throwback stuff. It's the screen stuff to lock it. And when things break down, I kid you not, like I was calling a game against Baltimore in Seattle. And I was like, when things break down, it's like Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett attended Hogwarts together because they're just, I mean, it's a freak show. It's Mr. Tumnus, you know, it's whatever that is, Wrinkle in Time or whatever the hell that is. I mean, they have this unbelievable connection. I think they're the best in the business when things break down and just playing schoolyard football. But, you know, a lot of question marks when it comes to this offensive line, something that they really haven't been able to fix in quite some time.
Mark, what about Todd Gurley? We're going to see him his first time with the Falcons. Do you think he's going to have a huge role? Like, do they want to come out of the gates hot with him and try to get the momentum going?
I'd love to see that. You know, one of my big issues with the Atlanta Falcons, when you study their tape, I don't know what they are. Like, I'm a big believer in having identity and knowing what it is you want to do and what it is you are. And, like, I'm watching them in base. So base to me is first and 10. And second down and 5-, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what you are as a base. What formation we like to be in, what personnel grouping we like to be in, what we like to run. So I go through a game, and I swear to you, there were 13 different runs, like 13 different schemes.
Watch your back.
Watch out.
And I'm like, well, what are you? Like, are you a wide zone? Are you a tight zone? Are you a trap? Are you a counter? Are you a gap? Like, what is the scheme? So when you run when you have that much volume in your run game, you know what you never do? You never establish any one thing. So as a defense, how can I get you to bite on that play action? How can I get you to bite to get somebody behind the defense if we run 13 different things and you've never seen one thing consistently?
Yeah.
You know, it's like a pitcher who's got a great fastball and a great curveball, but he throws his fastball from overhand and his curveball from sidearm. I, as a hitter, unless I'm stupid, I pretty much know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no deception to it. And so when I watch Atlanta, I'm like, you guys don't have any deception. Like, you've never established anything. And you wonder why you have all that talent on the outside and you haven't been able to figure it out. Well, for me, they need to figure it out. They need to say, this is what we're going to base in, this is what we're going to major in, and this is what we're going to do for Todd Gurley to make him effective.
Well, and the thing about that is, it's like you're playing against the Houston Astros every single week. They know exactly what you're pitching there, Mark. You know what I mean? They got the buzzer.
Yeah, no, I'm 100%. You know, just get hit. Hey, know what the buzzer tells you. What does the buzzer tell you?
You see that, by the way? I know you see that, Mark.
Dude, I'm telling you what. The yokitude is something special. But you're not – hey, man, I'm an old man. But let me tell you what. I'm like a grizzled up chicken bone. Dude, like I am – you know me, I'm in the weight room just dominating people. Just absolutely dominating people.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, listen to him this weekend on Fox calling the Falcons-Seahawks game and his show in Denver and on the internet. He is incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Schlereth. Thank you, Mark. Yes. Thank you, guys. Good conversation. He is an animal. So I guess he used to walk in before the quarantine, obviously. He'd walk into public gyms. And he'd see, like, younger kids doing bench, and he would pick people, I guess, that cared. Like, you could tell people that cared about their bench. And he would add a plate on and then get underneath and just knock it out, and then he would walk out. Like, what a legend, AJ. That's something I could see you doing.
No, I mean, I would – I don't really have that kind of personality, but I love the fact that Schlereth will walk in and just cuck random dudes on a bench their day.
By the way,
walk out. That's my favorite part.
Just to feel something. Can't thank you enough for choosing to listen to us. Remember, we're becoming a daily podcast, so I hope you can catch up with all of them. If not, you know, every other day or so. Aaron Rodgers, what a fucking stud. I mean, what a good conversation. Stink Schlereth, what a guy. AJ Hawk, what a man. Conversation. Wow. You guys, the best. Hashtag end a pod squad. Go ahead and tweet something in to potentially win some free merch. Our guy, Boston Connor, will be scrolling through those on the Twitter machine. Other than that, we will see you manana. That's right. Manana. You're the best. Cheers. Gumpy, please play. Wow, Ty. Fucking take a hike, dude. Gumpy, please play some copyright-free music. Cheers.